The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you find injustices in the policies of corporations and governments, yet feel powerless to do anything about them? Join us today for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton. Our program will be empowering, not only uncovering conspiracies, but actually offering solutions to these plots. There will be no holy cows, and no subject is off the table. Now, here is Dr. Robert Newton.
Hey, namaste. This is Dr. Newton. And I'm here actually in person with Sarah Gazala today.
And hello.
This is the first time I've met her in the flesh form. We've met on the astral planes many times. So just want to start out. Let's get ready to rumble. All right, so on today's show, I think Orion is going to be here. I certainly hope so. What his father found was some really incredible things. Three different sources of interpretation of the Sumerian tablets that basically put the timeline of Exodus within about 14 years of each other, but around, I think, about 960 some odd BC. Okay, so, well, why is this important? Well, one, we want to know that the books we're using have inaccuracy to them. And also, I wanted to point out that there's a lot of people that are upset with me, a lot of Christians who say, well, the Sumerian tablets and the Old Testament have nothing at all to do with each other. And I've just proven effectively that they do have something to do with each other. And in fact, this is what this is indicating, is that they are, in fact, where the much, if not all, of the Old Testament came from. And so, to me, this is really exciting that we can start getting some precision on the dates on these things, because, you know, as people write things down and then people transcribe things, they seem to have a habit of editing things deliberately or negligently in such a manner as things get changed. And yet here we have some pretty good indication that we can establish timelines. So do you have any thoughts about that, Sarah?
At the moment, not really. No, I'm curious as far as what Orion has to share. My subject area has never really been Sumerian. I'm more into ancient Egyptian, a lot of African and even American. But
Why don't you bring up some of that Nubian stuff that you were supposed to share last week, except you got the day of the show wrong.
Oh, God. I don't know what happened to me that day.
Nothing like me embarrassing you on the air.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I totally lost track there. Like, Atola must have gone through some portal. But anyway, what were you exactly discussing? I didn't even have a chance to listen to the show.
I was talking about how there was this Exodus from Atlantis to Egypt, mm-hmm. when Atlantis started to sink, but there were also other civilizations there, mm-hmm. and I think that what you were talking about actually fits into that timeline, because those people were indigenous to that area, possibly.
Mm-hmm. From what my mother shares with me, and even, you know, what was shared down to her, there was lots of gold in that area in the Nubian region. In fact, from what I understood, when the gold was always dug up and provided to the kings of the time, the pharaohs who were over there, the region is just extremely wealthy. The land itself is extremely wealthy. And in recent days, they went ahead and in recent years. In fact, they went ahead and built a dam there that completely drowned the whole area, sort of in a way to hide the history of what was really going on in that region.
You mean the Aswan?
Yes, the Aswan Dam. Yes, they, you know, I believe in the 1960s created a dam and it completely drowned that whole area. A lot of the history was lost in that area. They, you know, managed to move some of the monuments and stuff, but, you know, you can imagine a lot of it was left under the water, ancient cities and artifacts just under the water. That's pretty much it at the moment.
That's interesting because I didn't have any really information about gold being in that particular area, but it would make sense why they were there, because Thoth was there and he was an Anunnaki and showed up in many different personages in many different civilizations. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, in fact, when I was in the temple of Abu Simbel that was moved out of the lake bed that was created by that dam, and why mm-hmm. the temple itself was magnificent, the energy was completely dead inside of that. Everyone in our tour group agreed to a person that they would never go down there again, a waste mm-hmm. of time to fly down there simply because a lot of the energy must have to do with the geomancy of the site and the ley line intersections and everything where the temple was originally built, because obviously we know that that everything in Egypt is set up in basically within sacred geometry on a smaller scale than it's actually set up on New Cydonia up on Mars, where there's even grander pyramid complexes and stuff. So did your mother have any knowledge of like the power points in that particular area where the convergence of the ley lines come together?
Not particularly, not about that, no. But I will say that Isis's temple is located in this region, and you know, she is representative of the divine feminine. And I almost can, just feeling that energy out, and this is just from my own personal opinion, feeling that energy out because of what's happened in that area. It's not holding true to its energy of the divine feminine. It's almost as if the power was taken away from that from Isis, from the divine feminine in that region, in that area, when with history and as well as with the building of the dam.
Okay, well, I've heard some other people say that too. So I really didn't spend that much time down there other than we flew down there. We went to Abu Simbel and we went back and we flew back up to back up to Aswan. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. So all of these areas, once you start messing with them, once you start moving things around, possibly even moving that temple out of there would have changed the whole energy in that complex. Because, again, things weren't built as individual monuments, but as a larger grid work and a fractal geometry, in a manner of speaking.
In some way, when you talk about Thoth, and he, from what I understand, he was part of the construction for the all these monuments that are all over the world, the ley lines as well, for the higher dimensional ones. If reading Dzirumbalo's work and discussing Dzirumbalo's work, he mentions, you know, the higher dimensional ley lines that are out there that were constructed by higher dimensional beings such as Thoth and a few other beings. But what I'm trying to get at is that there are even man-made ley lines too, and the reconstruction, as you can see, of these man-made ley lines are very unnatural to us and very harmful to us, in fact. So it's best to me personally, I feel like just keeping away from any of these ley lines and just trying to find your own energy source is the best thing at this moment, because there's quite a few ley lines out there going on, and some of them are natural and some of them are not. And it's really hard to find one's own center when they're moving around, you know, some of these harmful ones. And, you know, it's great to be around the very powerful ones, but the harmful ones, you know, it's not that great. And we do live around a lot of harmful ones. Even the energy sources out here, such as the Wi-Fi and the electrical lines and everything like that, is extremely harmful to our own energy source. So,
yeah, you're getting the most radiation from the high voltage transmission lines. So, and it is in fact possible to create vortexes. I've done it first time by accident, and then after that, it'd be done. So then I started doing it deliberately for different purposes to create energy stability in certain areas. So I wanted to talk about, I believe I talked about this last week, but I don't think that it can be brought up too many times. I want to talk about what Van Collins sent me, and I'm very appreciative that Van sent that to me, about what was found by the U.S. troops in 2006 in Iraq. And lo and behold, they found this copper box that had these slabs of lapis that had the cuneiform embossed in them in such a way beyond technology that we have right now. So that, just the technology aspect right there, is interesting in and of itself. The second thing that's interesting is that those were translated by experts in Egyptian hieroglyphics and into the Sumerian cuneiform. And I spent a week actually working on this. And so the first 2 days, everything was and this person was flown in and paid $10,000 for a week worth of their time to use their expertise to decipher these tablets. And lo and behold, what they really revealed is extremely close, basically exactly what Orion has relayed to us versus the stuff that of the cuneiform tablets that Zachariah Sitchin has translated in his many books. And he is considered the ultimate authority on this particular thing. Actually, there were many references in there to Enki and Enlil and their interactions and their disagreements on different things. But I think what was even more interesting in this particular aspect was that this copper box that these lapis slabs of lapis tablets came in was actually glowing. So, and also the person that translated, he said after the second day there was that there wasn't open, there wasn't an open an openness about a translating this. All of a sudden there was all kinds of security around there, which the amount of security that was there would indicate that this was something that was really special, probably possibly a high technology that needed to be protected. And the fact that this copper box had a glow to it would indicate to me that it was either some type of zero point or perpetual energy system, basically maybe working on similar to what Tesla or Eric Dollard have done. And I want to get into Eric Dollard in a minute. I want you to talk about that a little bit in a couple minutes, Sarah. This is very, 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 very interesting. So here you're being led to believe that the people of this area are basically terrorists and barbarians, when in fact they descended from very high technology. I'm not sure if they descended from very evolved culture overall. I know Thoth was very evolved, but I don't, and Enki was, but I don't know that too many of the others were. I think many of the others were just interested in extracting the gold in Sumer, which is where the Tigris and Euphrates meet, and also there in southern or what southern, which is called Upper Egypt, even though it's south in Egypt itself. So I even learned something from that, and that's very interesting. So the thing with this gold is it's believed this was used for two reasons. One reason was for some reason that we're not sure, that we don't seem to have any writings that indicate, because they're probably on the planet Nibiru themselves, that the atmosphere there was deteriorating in some way, shape, or form, or possibly it was heating up too much like what we have going on right here, although it's not really heating up too much, even though you've been told that. And they may have used that as an aerosol in the atmosphere to reflect some of that solar radiation back out into space and something like that. The second reason that we know that they probably used it was as a part of the life extension, because on these Anunnaki, these people that lived in Sumer, these people that lived in Egypt, these people that lived in Israel had lifespans of 900 to 2,000 years, and those are clearly indicated by several personages in the Bible, including Moses, Methuselah, Abraham, and several others. So this is akin to what people are doing today. So there's a substance going around that people are taking called ormus. And it's supposed to have certain traces of gold in there that are supposed to give a life extension. At the Alchemy Conference where I was speaking and attending this weekend at the LAX Radisson, which, by the way, was a great, great conference. And make sure you make it to the next one in October, even if you don't live in the LA area. Mark it on your calendar for something to come, because what we started this time is going to get even better and bigger. What someone was relaying to me about this ormus, which is what I was picking up intuitively without any specific information, that they said that really there's not any significant amount of gold worthwhile even mentioning in this ormus. So it's really not used in a form, it's not going to be absorbed in a form that's going to be able to work as a life extension. So something about gold that's really important is that it is an octahedric form. So this is a very complex type atomic form, okay? Much more complex than any of the other metals. Maybe titanium would have an equally complex structure too. So both basically gold and titanium are metals that are compatible with the body. And in the case of titanium, they basically use it to fuse bone together where it won't get together. So there was something that I was going to ask you about, Sarah. What was I going to ask you to explain further about?
I believe something was in regards to zero point as far as what Dollard was
about thinking. Eric Dollard, yes.
Yes, I hear that, you know, he has come across free energy and his work is pretty much revolving around that, you know, how corporate media wants to hide all this information. But alternate media is sharing it. If you ever take the time to just type up Eric Dollard on the internet, you'll find that he has his own website and several YouTube videos explaining all this information. And there's so many out there who are discussing alternate forms of free energy to be using. I don't know why we're not tapping into this, but otherwise than the whole money system. But to me, the whole money system is an illusion. So it's still a question if we're still in fear. We need to step out of our fear and really embrace what's truly rightfully ours. And free energy is something that is truly rightfully ours, and we should be enjoying it and not allowing a fearful controlling system to stop us from doing what's correct for ourselves and for this earth. I do want to note, though, from what I hear, platinum is another metal that is very, shall we say, that is equivalent to gold. on some levels as well. So titanium, platinum, and gold are both very high in vibration. In fact, gold being the highest in vibration in this universe, I don't know if many are aware of this. If you ever, I believe it's maybe Mayan, but I believe if I'm read it correctly, gold is considered to be the sun. So if you're removing the gold out of this earth, could you be possibly removing the energy source of this earth and preventing this earth from becoming what she truly should be, which is a star or a sun?
No, that's an interesting concept. Even I won't jump in and try and answer that, but I will jump in and talk about platinum and palladium. And in fact, they are very atomically complex, many atoms in them, such as gold, and are also a part of cold fusion. Okay, so actually cold fusion has been attempted and actually completed and started as an energy reaction. Basically, the problem they've had so far is that it's highly explosive. So I believe it's probably releasing a lot of hydrogen. That's usually associated with something highly explosive like that. And then also with Eric Dollard. So basically, what I've been doing some studying myself, and basically what I'm seeing, other than they've burned his lab down 7 times, which sounds similar to what they've done with John Searles, who has the magnetic energy thing. But what Eric Dollard has actually done, the scientists that have looked at that said that Eric Dollard has Tesla abilities or higher. And so we already know what Tesla did. He already pulled electricity right out of the atmosphere and transmitted it away from the antenna where he attracted it and dispersed it away. So this is definitely a possibility for us right now. So I'm very interested to. Sarah and I are going to try and find Dollard and see what we can get going and get this thing going, get some funding into this and get this technology out. Because like her, I agree, it's way past time. I no longer want to be a slave. In fact, hell, I never wanted to be one. And now I'm not going to be one much longer either, because one way or another, I'm going to be extracting myself from petroleum, natural gas, and all other kinds of inefficient forms of combustion, and also not only inefficient but actually dirty. Even natural gas is cleaner than gasoline, but there's still hydrocarbons that are emitted from it. So
personally, anything that's tapping, removing, you know, elements from the earth, any minerals or gases, really just needs to be left alone and untouched. I mean, it's like, you know, removing the blood out of our own bodies. You know, I can't live without blood. So how is the earth supposed to live without her own resources?
Yeah, well, that's something interesting that you talk about removing the minerals and the resources from the earth. You know, that's something that I've thought about myself. And that's something I actually thought in relation to the Anunnaki, who took thousands and maybe millions of tons of gold off this planet and took it to their own planet. So maybe we need to take an expedition and steal our gold back. And while I'm laughing, I actually mean that literally.
No, that's a good idea. Let's go.
Okay, so I'm just going to talk about a couple other things. We're coming up close to break. So there's also, you know, it is the time it is our time to break away from these forms of energy that are highly polluting in multiple ways, not only in the extraction process, but in the combustion process likewise. And it's time that we not be overcharged for these kind of things, which, you know, we're completely, one of the reasons we're being overcharged right now is because the value of the dollar is sinking fast. Remember that I brought this up on earlier shows. So I hope that the listeners have listened. You're taking steps to change the form of your assets from stocks, U.S. dollars, other currencies, euros, I don't care, other paper currencies, unless they're backed by something of inherent value, it's time to get into silver and gold coins, okay? And there's never been a better time to buy them, as the prices gone down quite considerably. So something that I really hope that you pay attention to, because although I would have thought by now that the currency would have, that the U.S. dollar and the euro would have already been a history like Sayonara'sville, the fact is that it's inevitable because they just keep printing it. You reach a point where you can, when people, a mass realization will occur where people no longer will take your U.S. dollar. And so this is basically what's happening right now, basically. China really doesn't buy their oil with the U.S. dollar anymore because it costs them too much, nor does Russia, nor does India, nor does Brazil, nor does South Africa. And these, by the way, are the countries that have set up their own system of exchange called BRICS, B, capital B, capital R, capital I, capital C, capital S. And I believe that is an acronym for the countries that are involved into this currency. This is a currency that possibly we will be using in a transition period. I know that Sarah does not like currency. I don't have any problems with currency as long as it's backed by something of inherent value. Whenever it is, then it's good. Additionally, barter is not the grooviest way of doing things, although a lot of you theoretically think it is. Until you've actually done it like I have, you'll find out that it's really not. In my experience as a bartering with people, the other person always thinks they're getting screwed, and I always think I'm getting screwed, that it's not a fair deal, that it's not an even wash. So let's go to break, and let's see if we can get Orion into the show.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Through Dr. Newton's books and classes described at drrobertnewton.com, the following things can occur in your life: increased prosperity and abundance, a state of happiness, humor and tranquility, which makes life a joy to live, increased energy fields downloaded into the body, increasing your overall vigor, increased creativity, putting no task beyond your ability to complete it, increased intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom, the awakening and or increasing of psychic abilities, increased sexual intensity, pleasure, energy, and bliss, the opening of the heart chakra, allowing you to give and receive love in great quantities, as well as conceiving and manifesting your goals and desires in an accelerated and certain fashion. These things and more can be augmented by using the Scientific Miracle Health product, ASEA. ASEA is a stabilized redux product that completely rejuvenates the body and brain and transports the brain-mind to theta trance and divine consciousness, as do the techniques revealed in Dr. Newton's classes, wherein miracles routinely occur. For more information, visit drrobertnewton.com.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones: Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones: Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton. Contact the program today at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send us an email to theta4ia@yahoo.com. Now, back to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions.
Hey, it's Dr. Robert Newton back with Sarah, and we're having an improvisational show today. Not exactly what we intended, but Sarah had something that she wanted to talk about, a blog that she just did, and she has really good insights. So, Sarah, why don't you roll with that?
Sure, thanks. So, for some time now, I've been always asking certain, you know, questions and allowing these questions to just kind of guide me to where it is that I need to be focusing or looking at. Or sometimes I don't even ask questions. Sometimes I just allow the universe to just provide what it is that's happening and just, you know, see where that's leading to. But my most recent question that I asked was, why is it that so few people own all the land on this earth? And I followed that trail, and it led me to basically coming to finding out that we've been enslaved now in the system ever since royalty has existed. You're looking at about 5,000 years or so now that we've been slaves to the system and completely brainwashed and not even aware how trapped we are. We've allowed them to take everything and put a value for our own flesh and blood and make us feel indebted or be indebted to them, working to free ourselves, which we never do. We just keep coming back and, you know, falling more indebted into the system. But In the post, basically, I provide this link showing that the few who own the land, and you find that the queen owns 1/6 of the earth. When you go back in time and you think about, for example, colonization, they, you know, many of these royal leaders, with their royalty, shall we say, sent out their expeditions to go ahead and conquer these lands. And when they conquered these lands, from feeling out the energy behind all that, what I was able to tell was that they would go ahead and establish a value for the land. So, for example, I provided my post that, say, when they came across Australia, they said, okay, Australia has all this riches and resources and everything, and, you know, there are this many people on the land already, and they're, you know, we're going to go ahead and figure out a value for this. And those who do come, who are birthed into the new world of Australia, we're going to go ahead and register them and give them a value in regards to how much of the land how much the land is worth. So, say for example, you have Australia is worth about $10 trillion, and you have about 200 million people registered in Australia. Each one of those people is worth a certain amount of money, you know, by dividing the amount of the land, the worth of the land, between amongst those who are registered. If you ever look at example for a banknote, a birth certificate, they consider it to be a banknote because your birth certificate, once you registered, they go ahead and register the amount that you're worth depending on the parcel of land that you are worth in that particular country, depending on how much the resources are worth for that particular country too. So just to kind of get a basic idea, when I looked at my own bank note or my birth certificate, I found out that I was worth half a billion dollars. I don't know how many people have taken the time to find out what their banknote is worth. It's out there if you want to. I mean, I'm just following the trail of energy and asking the questions and researching and looking into it. But yes, there is a value for your birth certificate. And if you want to take the time, you can figure it out. It is out there. But I know how much I'm worth. I know how much my children are worth, too. I went ahead and looked that up as well. And this isn't old, like, you know, hidden information. It is out there. People are extremely aware that our birth certificates are banknotes. And it even states on the birth certificate, if you look very closely in the fine print, pull out your birth certificate and read it closely. It will state on there that you are a banknote, or the birth certificate is a banknote. I'm sorry, not you, but the birth certificate is. So I guess I need to go back a little bit now to where I was trying to go with all this.
So basically you're saying we've been securitized then.
Pretty much we are extreme slaves to this system. And in my post, I'm saying that, you know, it's time that we go ahead and remove ourselves from this system, the whole controlling situation where they own us. You know, when we're born, we're registered. Within like a few days, well, let me try to explain it in a different way. When you're first born, you've come upon to the land, okay? You're a free person who has come upon to the land. And the moment your mother or your, you know, parents register you, you are at this point birthed. And I don't mean birth spelled B-I-R-T-H-E-D. I mean birth as in B-E-R-T-H-E-D. And birth as in docked. You're docked. You're not on the land anymore. You are docked in the water. You do not have any access to the land. You own none of this land. They have taken the land, and they have given you a value on your birth certificate for what that land is worth. And this is, you know, they leave you in that position pretty much, you know, that you cannot access that land because they own that land. So it just took me, you know, full circle to kind of go all the way around and find out what was going on there. So why is it that we don't own this land ourselves? Why is it not our land? Because they took it all already, and they went ahead and gave us a dollar amount value or our currency value, and they birthed us out to sea and left us out there while they went ahead and are enjoying the resources. We have an abundance of resources, but the only reason we think there's a limited resources is because we don't have access to these resources, because someone else has taken all the resources and claimed it as their resources and just left us with small pockets of area to work with. There's an abundance of resources that we're not even touching right now. A ton
there
of
really,
it.
There really is. There's mm-hmm. at least 100 years of oil, although I know I'm ready to get off that nasty, dirty thing.
Exactly.
Because it's created by an abiotic process of sulfur interacting with humic shale down into the ground. So while dinosaurs may have created some of the oil, I know there weren't enough dinosaurs unless they were completely shoulder to shoulder on the planet at one time, and in which case then they couldn't have lived because there wouldn't have been enough food to sustain them to get to the size to get to big enough to be anything of significance to create oil. So mm-hmm.
I just have to say, I believe it's the time for royalty to end and people to take back what is rightfully theirs and to actually step back onto the land. And I note this, you know, in my blog, you know, we need to step back on the land and stop being docked or birthed and take back what is ours. At no point does anybody have the right to own 1/6 of the land, let alone all the land on this earth. And at no point are we indebted to these, to anybody, you know, just because in their sick way that, you know, because they're royalty, they get to own everything. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. We are people of this earth, and we are entitled to this earth. And unless this earth tells you, oh, you have to pay me or owe me in some way, and you're only allowed this, then I would listen. But because the earth doesn't have this restriction or limitation or these kind of controls upon me, then what am I doing? I don't see any other animal or any other being on this earth. I don't see the fish doing it. I don't see the birds doing it. I don't see any other animal being told that you need to just, you know, rent a house, get a job, go buy your food at the grocery store. They don't live like that. Nothing does. Only we do. Why is that? Because we are the resources. we are the ones who have the value, and they want to take our value, and they want to keep us docked off the land, because they know if we go ahead and take this land and make it our land, we're going to make it something special and something wonderful.
Oh, kind of like the Thrive thing that we had. The paradigm for that is upon us. So do you have anything more you want to say about this?
I do. I mean, we can go back to free energy again. I mean, here we can't even express ourselves and what we're truly capable of because they have docked us.
Well, what I find interesting with the free energy is, okay, it's all around us. When Tesla came up with the Wycliffe Tower, and then when Westinghouse realized that he couldn't make much money selling free energy, that he couldn't sell free energy to people, he quickly dismantled the tower. You know, this happened with many other of Tesla's thing. And the same thing has happened with Eric Dollard. So now every time he gets close to being ready to do something, then they burn down his lab. This has happened at least 7 times that I know of. And as I brought up before with John Searles, also his lab has been burned down 7 times. And what he's basically dealing with is a high-tech magnetic propulsion system, not using magnets per se, but using magnetic waves imprinted in these metal discs. I've seen it. I've seen the prototype, so I know it works. I've seen the energy. I've measured the energy the little amount of energy coming out of these small prototypes and everything. So it's all in the realm of the doable. And we're also close to, I really feel, with cold fusion. And the beautiful thing about cold fusion is, okay, originally it had to be done with platinum or palladium, which are like very expensive metals. So recently they've been able to do this with nickel hydride powder. And so nickel costs virtually nothing. So it costs a little bit, but almost nothing compared to platinum and palladium. So basically you're bringing the price of this down into an affordable range. So these are the kind of things that I'm really looking for, that I'm really excited about, because I see with the solar panels, you're creating a lot of toxins with I believe there's a lot of lead and some other things that are being done with the electrical cars and the batteries. There's a lot of toxins involved with those. So I don't see that as green alternatives. For something to be truly green, it needs to be really green. Now, solar, wind, basically is, you know, an interesting option, but it definitely is ugly to look at out in nature. That's where they put it, and also chops up a lot of birds. So do you have anything more you want to say on that?
Yeah, if you could imagine having free energy available, something that doesn't harm anything, completely green and accessible to all, at what point do you think you would need money? Or any kind of form of currency.
Well, I've gone down the line and I've seen how you could be a lot less reliant on it. It's definitely within the purview of the achievable, exactly what you're saying. If you don't have to pay for your electricity, you're saving a ton there. If you don't have to pay for your propulsion for your vehicles, you're saving a lot of money there. If you're growing your own food through aquaponics or hydroponics or organic agriculture, which I've done, then once again, you're saving, you know, considerable. I still think you're going to need to be trading with people for different things. I don't see it completely leaving. And again, with the money thing, as long as there's no interest in it. So let me give you an example of that. I've talked about it on the show before, but North Dakota has a state bank where they loan money to business enterprises within that state for 0% interest. Okay, this is what we want. Money without the usury, which is why Jesus kicked the money changers out of the temple, not because they were exchanging money, but because they were charging exorbitant interest rates. And so this is
taxation,
like,
too. I don't believe in that as well. Just, you know,
and
taxation.
And another thing of what you said is very interesting, how that they birthed this offshore. Because think about it. The Uniform Commercial Code, upon which all the laws in the United States are based, every stinking law, including most people don't realize, and the criminal law, everything is based on this commercial law, which is maritime law, which is military law. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a complete perversion. It's a complete artificial system versus the common law and versus natural law, which are basically based upon the concepts that you can deduce and observe from the operation of nature. Okay, so that's why I wrote my almost fourth completed book called Arboriforia, When Trees Ruled the Earth. It's not that trees literally ruled the earth, but the essence of the trees and the plants and the wildlife living in there establish ways and within harmony with within which things interact, and so when man comes in and creates these artificial systems, everything gets discombobulated.
Yes, I agree. I want to add one other thing too that I was noticing today. Actually, in the past few days, something in regards to being considerate of others and having respect for others. We don't necessarily have to agree with one another, but we should at least learn to respect one another and treat each other humanely. We all have feelings, and we're all, you know, in this together. And we should come together, because the system has totally taught us to be fighting one another. And it's time for us to stop fighting one another and just come together and realize that we are working together to create a better world. We may not be on the same page, like how you're saying you still think we need some kind of barter system. You're probably right. We do probably need some kind of barter system. I prefer that we have no kind of currency or barter system altogether and just go to sharing and being loving and kind to one another. But, you know, I respect your views, and I'm so happy you respect my views, and that's what we need to do. We may not agree, but we should respect.
That's what's called holistic thinking. You know, you don't believe that you have the only way, because certainly if you think you're the only one that knows, you will be kicked in the ass very hard, and you will eventually be shown otherwise, although some people never perceive it. Okay, so if you're done with that, I'm going to read, people have asked me to, I'm going to read a part of a chapter from The Hidden Codes of God, my newest novel, which just came out this week, and I've gotten a really good response on it, and people have asked for an oral book, so ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. I'm going to give you a little version. This is from chapter 11, Relaxing into the Passionate Transcendence, During Prom Night and Putting the Codes into Real-Life Perspective. When James picked up Anne in his car, she was very happy with the orchid corsage, and James was very happy with the beauty of Anne's dress, and yet Anne could sense that James was less than thrilled about actually going to the prom. She asked him, "James, I can sense you really are not into going to this prom thing." "You are right," he responded. "I really am not, but I know that I'm into you, and you look so beautiful and so radiant, and that is already making it easier for me to take you to the prom." When you are happy, I am happy likewise, and so we are kind of like feeding off of each other, right?" "Yes, James," Anne said, "and I bet you will become happier as the night progresses. Just relax and enjoy being with me. With me and you, you will see some magic happen." "What kind of magic, Anne?" James queried. Anne replied, "Energy magic, like the spirit magic from those hidden codes we are always talking about." "Well," James replied, "now you are talking my language, I think. Are you talking about the energy of love?" Anne responded, "Yes, that and more, since everything is energy, which includes love. Isn't that what we have been talking about ever since we became a couple?" James smiled and then started laughing and nodded his head in agreement. "I can see that you intend to teach me something tonight," James said to Anne. "Experience and learn," Anne said, as she smiled and winked at James. So when they arrived at the prom, which is held in their high school gymnasium, Anne told James, "Just concentrate on me, and I will concentrate on you, and we will take ourselves into another dimension as we are dancing with each other. Relax as much as you can, and we will create an energy field infused with love, and it will be special just for us, since no one else here could even conceive of this other than ourselves." "Wow," James said, "you never cease to amaze me with your far-out ideas that are so creative." Anne responded, "I need to keep you interested and keep you captivated, and I will do just that." So when they got inside the gym, because of their mindset and because they were already very relaxed, the prom felt as though there was very little electricity coursing throughout the building and to their bodies. So as the band began to play a slow song, James took Anne by the arm and guided her onto the dance floor. As he put his hand around Anne's waist and took her right hand, and as she took his left hand, put her left hand on his right shoulders, they ascended into a euphoric state of consciousness. Soon James had his other arm around Anne's waist, and they melded into each other with a passionate embrace. The more they relaxed, the happier and more passionate they became. The energy they were creating became self-perpetuated and creating waves of ecstasy that they could literally feel as warmth and a tingling electrical sensation. This was even before James started kissing Anne passionately on her neck. And as Anne responded to these kisses, James began to tenderly kiss Anne's lips with soft, short kisses, then followed by longer, drawn-out ones, and then repeating this over and over. Unbeknownst to James or Anne, the teacher chaperones were less than thrilled with their display of affection, but even if they were aware of this, they would not have cared in the least. Anne asked James, "What do you think is occurring to us? Is it just so magical, you know?" And James replied, "You predicted it, my sweet love, that something magic would happen. Are you sure you are not a psychic?" "Psychic, schmikic," Anne said. "I really don't care, but this feeling inside of me is really way beyond normal and so divine." "Baby," James cooed, "I only wish our parents could feel what we are feeling and that they would have no need to argue with each other ever again." Anne just looked at James with such passionate eyes and nodded in agreement. So after several slow dances, they began to play rock and roll, a rock and roll song with a fast-paced beat. James wanted to leave the floor until another slow song was played, and Anne convinced him they should continue dancing. James was glad she convinced him to do this because, to his great surprise, the special energy that he and Anne had generated continued to build, much to James' astonishment. James was under the impression that if they were not dancing closely together, that energy and passion would dissipate. Although James and Anne both liked the faster dance because it allowed a more creative dance expression, they did not expect the energy to keep building as it did. It seemed as though they were able to keep and amplify the energy and passion just being in a close approximation without really touching. Okay, well, I won't be able to make it through another chapter, but this book kind of shows you, it's kind of based on a map to healing, but what I basically did is I took spiritual esoteric knowledge, I took adventure, I took romance, and I took humor, and I put it all together into one book. I think the feedback I'm getting so far is people are really like it, especially women, and that was actually who I figured would get it more than the men. Next week, not sure what the show is going to be on, whether I'm going to bring Orion in or I'm going to move on to another subject. But thank you for listening, and namaste.
Thank you for joining us for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions. Please join Dr. Robert Newton next Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.